Good morning. So here we are in week 3 of 5 in our journey through chapter 6 of John, which begins with Jesus feeding the 5,000 with a few barley loaves and a couple of fish. Then Jesus walks on water. It's a busy chapter. There's lots going on. And then the crowds follow Jesus, wanting more from him. And Jesus accuses the people of only following him because he fed them and because they want more from him. The people know the long history of being fed by God, and they want to be fed, to continue to be fed. They want a sign, just like God sent the Israelites when they were starving in the desert, manna in the wilderness. They want to know that God is with them and will take care of them. And Jesus cautions them, however, not to work for food that spoils, but to work for food that endures, the food that only he can give them. We've been talking a lot about the lectionary and how sometimes it's difficult to work within the context of the lectionary. I mean, 5 weeks of one chapter is a lot. But beyond that, there are certain times of the year when there are two tracks in the lectionary, and we have to pick one. And this year, we're going with the story of David, which is a rich and difficult story. But there's a couple of Hebrew scripture lessons last week and this week that very much feed into John. And so I just want to recap those for you because we haven't read them. So the alternative last week that we didn't read was the story of manna from heaven in Exodus that John references today. To recap, the Israelites are in exile in the desert, and they're complaining a lot. And they're turning against Moses and against Aaron, and they wished that they had just let them die rather than leading them out of Egypt into the desert where they were going to starve to death. They felt that God had forsaken them, and so God hears this and tells Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day." So Aaron tells them what God says, and they look out into the wilderness, and they see the glory of God appearing in a cloud. And in the morning, the ground is covered in dew, and when that layer of dew lifts, there on the surface of the earth is this fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they were confused. They're like, "What is that?" They had no idea. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." It was white and fine and tasted, they say, like wafers made with honey. The people called the bread manna, and they gathered the manna during the day. And no matter how much they gathered, they seemed to have just the right amount to eat. And whatever was left on the ground was rotten by night, but it filled their bellies, and they lived on the manna until they came out of the desert. God fed the people, just as Jesus fed the people. Now, today's passage from the Hebrew Bible, again, not the one that we read, is from 1 Kings, and it's telling the story of Elijah. Elijah's pretty much at the end of his rope. He's feeling threatened and exhausted and hungry and thirsty, and he's ready to give up. It's short, so I'm just going to read to you what we would have read. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Hoping to die, I think, right? And suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and he drank, and he lay back down again. Then the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat. Otherwise, the journey will be too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank. Then he went on the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. God understands that we humans need sustenance for the journey. We need food and water to survive. And time again, God provides. And there's this history of God feeding our bodies, taking care of our essential needs. But then Jesus comes along, and yes, he feeds the people. But then he says, that's not enough. Moses' people ate the manna, and they still eventually died. You need spiritual food, spiritual nourishment, and only I can give that to you. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Our physical needs must be met, of course, and Jesus understands that, but physical satiation only lasts until those hunger pangs start to return. Spiritual satiation can be eternal. Today's reading begins and ends with Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And he goes on to say at the end of today's reading, whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Clearly, a prophecy of the sacrifice of his crucifixion to come, acknowledging his sacrifice and his death. And Jesus goes on. He becomes more graphic, almost cannibalistic. In our reading next week, and a little spoiler alert, right? Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. It's a lot, but it certainly makes you pay attention. Brian said in his sermon last week that this is John's version of the Eucharist, the sacrament of the bread and wine. Now, there have been literally thousands now of hours spent with theologians debating this particular topic, and we can get ourselves really wrapped around the axle and whether or not it's theologically solid or not. But I believe the parallels are indisputable. John is different, and he's always a little bit out there, but the blood and the body and blood are so present in this passage. In our Eucharist that we say every Sunday morning, we take what we call the words of institution directly from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they're very different. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. It's a little softer than, eat my flesh. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And then we pull this little line we see in 1 Corinthians that sort of normalizes all of it. Do this in remembrance of me. When we put John's version of Jesus' words in the context of the Eucharist, it becomes easy for us to rationalize those words. We are used to rationalizing this odd body and blood language as a symbolic act, a symbolic reminder that Jesus gave himself, his flesh and blood, for us. It's not as edgy or cannibalistic in that context. It's a little bit whitewashed. And frankly, some of the mystery is lost. It becomes a symbolic remembrance. Still powerful and mysterious. We know that when you walk up to that rail, something happens. There is a transformation. But it doesn't have that same edge that we see in John. John's version of what we call the Eucharist is very different. The language around the bread is earthy and embodied and real and yet completely mysterious and a little grotesque. There's no whitewashing it here. Not only is he more graphic, but his sense of the shared meal is very different, coming directly from this idea of Jesus as the living bread filling us with spiritual food. How we understand the sacrament of the bread and the wine is changed by John's perspective. Jesus is telling us to take his body into our bodies, and in so doing, he imbues us with his spirit. He communes his divinity to us, and we are fed spiritually, and we are filled with God's very being, which we know to be the test, love. We know to be love, right? The Eucharist, based on John, takes a different tone. The word, what we call the words of institution in John, wouldn't start with on the night on which Jesus was betrayed, but they would start with this miraculous feast of the 5,000, followed by this beautiful concept of the living bread of life. What would those final words of invitation to the table be if not, every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do this in remembrance that Christ gave his life for us, but rather focused on rejoicing in the living bread that has already come down from heaven, that has already filled us. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. Accept God fully into your body, and you will be filled. John gives us a life-oriented understanding of the Eucharist without losing its connection to Jesus' death, but essentially associated with life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I recently read a version of the Eucharist according to John. It went something like this. After the miraculous feast on the mountainside, where a multitude were satisfied with loaves, 5 loaves and 2 fish, the disciples gathered 12 baskets of leftover bread. You lift the bread, right? Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever trusts in me will never be thirsty. And then we come to this table together. We trust God will satisfy our hunger and our thirst. Jesus shared this meal with a hungry crowd long ago, and he shares it with us today. So let us bring our hunger and our thirst to the table of the one who called himself the living bread. And I want to add, as we're handing out the bread, I want to say the words, I want to say, this is the bread of life. Eat it and be filled and know that you are loved. The sacrament isn't about remembering just that Jesus dies for us, but that Jesus lived for us and that Jesus lives in us. We are filled with the spiritual food in his body and his blood, and we will never go hungry. Spiritual sustenance is ours if we reach for it. Jesus fills us with his love if we trust and accept it. Sometimes the normalizing of the sacrament of Jesus' body and blood, we forget the mystery. With this bread, with this cup, can be just a reminder of Christ, but the magic can be lost. This bread, that funny, stale little wafer that we eat every Sunday morning, is manna from heaven, but more, because it lives in us. In the sacrament of the Eucharist, God nourishes us to go into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to take the trek to the Mount of God. Last week, Brian also talked about sacramental living, which is such a beautiful concept, and I feel like John's version of the sacrament lends itself profoundly to this. What does it mean to live sacramentally, according to John? To live in the knowledge, not that Christ died for us or that Christ will come again, but that Christ feeds us, that we are filled with spiritual food, that we are fully nourished and energized to do what God has asked us to do. We return to this profound mystery time and time again. Jesus asks us to incarnate ourselves, to be vessels of his love, to take Jesus into our bodies, to nourish us so that we can make that journey to Horeb, to do the deep spiritual work that Jesus commands us to do. And we know where John is heading with this, right? We have to get all the way to chapter 13, which is his version of the Last Supper. But he doesn't focus on the bread and the wine in that moment. He focuses on himself as a servant, as washing the disciples' feet and humbling himself to them. And he tells us a little bit of the future and what's going to come in the days ahead. And then he gives us his final marching orders, really his only commandment to us in John. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Living sacramentally means to be participant in Jesus' divine life by grace. Living sacramentally means nourishing ourselves with God's love and grace and then spreading that love into the world. Living sacramentally means seeing the holy in ourselves and everyone and everything around us. If we are truly united with God in faith, if we are truly fed by Jesus' flesh and blood, then God's boundless love becomes the focus and the driver of our lives. And we are nourished and strengthened to spiritual health, so that we can do the work we're called to do, to show our neighbors the same mercy and love that we have received from God, which is beautifully written about in the reading from Ephesians today, so go back and look at that. But to be loved and to love. And I want you to think as you come forward today to receive the bread, as you take that funny, stale little wafer into your mouth, I want you to remember that you are filled with God's grace. I want you to remember, really remember, that you are loved. Amen.